When you come, let's say, looking from the perspective in, let's say, psychology or sociology, or sometimes even economics, more like the social sciences, you know, there's always the issue of how things are defined in order to analyze, let's say, you know, theoretical proposals or data interpretation. So, depending on how you define things, you may find that data can be interpreted in various ways. So that is not a new phenomenon. But on the other hand, you have, for example, in mathematics, where you work, let's say, in a particular axiomatic framework, then you know what axioms you're using, you know what procedures and what definitions you're using, and then things are very precise. So you move along, and then you can prove certain theorems within a certain axiomatic system. And then you can prove other theorems, let's say, without that axiom, and they're all being precise. And sometimes, you know, they're mutually inconsistent, but they're internally consistent given those definitions. So, on the mathematical end of things, or even the applied math in engineering and so on, things are tend to be much more precise. So, what I expected in the realm of the study of number and what is mathematical cognition and how is mathematics conceived and so on, I was expecting to have some sort of rigor in the definitions used by neuroscientists, psychologists, and you know, animal psychologists, and so on. And the truth is that it's really pretty messy, and so leading to very confusing analysis sometimes. So yeah, I've been trying to kind of see, well, if we're going to ask theoretical questions and scientific questions like the one in this particular article, whether capacity for number has evolved biologically, then we need to have a definition of what is number, what is a capacity, what type of evolution we're interested in this particular case. The claims have been about biological evolution, so mainly through natural selection. So then we need to understand and analyze the question accordingly.